was texting Kyle. I was like, yeah, I like don't really know what I'm gonna say on this podcast because I think that I like trauma blocked most of it. Like, he goes, I think that's a fair start. I was like, yeah.
Well, I actually went back to our text messages and found
Oh,
in our
geez.
messenger messages. Actually, we shouldn't start talking about that until I introduce you. So,
Sure.
okay. Welcome to No Place Like Home, the podcast about missing pets. I'm your host, Mitch Bernard. Today, we'll be talking about another field case from a year ago this week. I'm excited to have with me Jillian Robertson, whose cat Mavis came back this week in 2022. In fact, we caught Mavis almost exactly a year ago. Next up, my interview with Jillian. I want to talk about Mavis a little bit. Like, tell me a little bit about Mavis. What's she like? How long had you had her before she went missing?
Yeah, absolutely. So my boyfriend and I moved to Pittsburgh in May of 2021, and I think I waited about 2 weeks before I got a cat, which was a little bit too long, if you ask me.
Exactly.
I kind of talked to like some foster cat homes and stuff, and we were able to meet her, but this was during COVID. So the foster mom brought her down in a carrier to like the lobby of the apartment building that she was taking care of her. And so Mavis was like pretty uncomfortable, like not being in her space, but she just like buried her little head in like the nook of my arm when we went to go visit her, which was so cute. And I knew the first cat that I was going to meet was like, okay, I want this.
What's the point in even pretending?
So then we ended up adopting her, and then we had her, oh my God, last year was 2020. So we had her just over a year before she went missing, so maybe like a year and a couple months.
And she was a kitten when you got her, or she was a grown cat when you got her?
No, she was 2 years old when we got her.
Okay.
I kind of wanted a cat
yeah,
whose
adopting adult
personality
cat.
had developed. Developed a little bit, and like I feel like kittens are all just like super crazy and you don't really know, but yeah,
cool. And she's is she there today? Of course she's there. You're at home, right?
Yeah,
so she's
here.
somewhere
She's
today.
taking a good nap on the top of her cat tower where
Maybe
she
she'll
can
come
keep my memory.
maybe she'll come make an
She might
appearance
sit
later.
up here. She likes to sit up here, but I
yeah
did close the
it's a
window,
good
which might
yeah it's a good seat. So a year ago today, maybe yesterday, you had posted something on Facebook or Nextdoor. Facebook, I think.
So yeah, I can start from the beginning. So my boyfriend and I have a friend from college who moved to Boston, and my boyfriend and I were going out there for like 3 days, like a long weekend, to go and visit my friend from college. And we've never been to Boston before, so we were pretty excited. So we get out there. I think we had maybe not even 20 hours. Like, I think we slept one sleep.
Wow.
And my sister was watching my cat at the time. So I
In
get
your
a text
apartment.
in my apartment. Yeah. So I live on the first floor of an apartment building. So our front door, just to sort of set the scene a little bit, doesn't really have a latch. Like, you have to lock it in order for it to close. It gets better in the
You love
winter
those
versus
old
the summer.
houses.
Yeah. Depending on the weather is whether that door closes or not. So we've always been like super cautious about locking it and unlocking it or whatever. But so my sister was watching our cat while we were out of town, and she came over to feed her with her 5-year-old, and the 5-year-old was dressed in an astronaut costume, and they were just coming over to feed the cat, and they didn't lock the door behind them, and it blew open and Mavis got out. So the way that she described it to me, because I was in Boston at the time, was the door was open. Mavis ran out. She ran into the bush that was outside the front of our house. So just like right down the steps. And then they just sort of panicked and went and chased her. And so she ended up running 2 houses down the block under a patio. And they saw her do that. So then they tried to set up a trap on one side of the patio where there was an opening. And they didn't realize that there was an opening on the other side. And they banged on the patio.
Oh
To like
no.
try and scare her out, and then she was like gone in the wind. So I get a call, we chased her, we did all these things, and now she ran out. So my boyfriend ended up getting a flight back that next morning, and then it was really expensive to buy tickets last minute, and I'm very cheap, so I bought like the Delta non-refundable tickets, which I will probably still continue to do, but in hindsight did not work well for me on that trip. And then I was able to get a flight out the next day because they were like my friends. So he's like, you hang out, like I'll go get her. And then we didn't realize
Oh,
what an adventure it was gonna
yeah.
be. So that was sort of how she got out. And that's the story a little bit about that. But
So, he got home how long after she had gone missing? Like, how long was the lapse before you got notified after
I
she
think
got
he
out?
came home the next day. So I think we were notified at like 4 p.m. and then he got a flight out like 7 a.m. the next day.
Wow, that's very nice.
Yeah, and so he came home and I was like, at this point, so this is where I kind of posted on Facebook is so my upstairs neighbor was this sweet, lovely woman. She moved away. I miss her dearly, but she is like this big cat lover, and they had lost their cat the year before. And she was like, anything I can do to help. Like, she was trying to communicate with my sister. And I had never even talked to my upstairs neighbor really, other than like passing in the backyard.
Yeah.
And she was trying to help. She was out looking. She was trying everything, searching everywhere. And so we get back, and I'm like, okay. So I posted on Facebook because it was the only thing I could do from far away was like,
Right.
what can I do online to help right
Yeah.
now? Because I remember in Boston, actually, I think I posted on Facebook and like our neighborhood page, like, hey, lost my cat if you see him. And then some people tagged you. So I remember I was in Boston,
That's
like
right.
in the guest room on the
Yeah.
phone with you, and you were like, all right, what is the layout of your
Yeah.
neighborhood and all that?
Yep. Which it turns out you were like 5 blocks from me or something.
Yeah,
But I didn't know that then. Yeah. So, yeah.
yeah. So we were kind of going over some stuff, but at that point, I was getting like, whenever you post on those pages, like 50 people come in and they're giving you all sorts of conflicting advice, and you're already super like vulnerable and emotional and all over
Yeah,
the map. That you're like,
it's
okay, who do I
awful.
trust? And you kind of have to do like, have to find one person to listen to.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that like you were there and helpful and like responding to my every message, because I'm sure you trying to scroll back to the top of our messages was like, I remember
Was pretty
messaging you
funny.
like
There was a lot because, yeah, well, we'll get to that after, but yeah, so what, according to what I found in Messenger, you had already set up a camera, I think, by this time then. So maybe we talked on texting someplace else before that, but
Probably,
like our
yeah.
first messages in Messenger have the footage from the Wyze camera. Was that the one that I lent you, I think?
Yeah, because I didn't have
Or
cameras before you, so we must have been
that's right.
texting, or like it just got
Yeah.
down in the, or you know what it might be is Facebook might archive stuff after a year,
Oh,
and
that
so
could
that's why
be.
you
Look at
literally see
that.
today
The
as the
first day.
day,
That would be quite a
because we definitely
coincidence.
texted before now, because
Yeah.
I found her in 2 days from now, which we
Yeah.
were texting for way
Yeah, it
longer than
had
I was
definitely. Yeah,
messaging
that's true, because there was a lot of that damn cat, kind of messages at this point. So, yeah, so I guess it was more than a year ago. But so the first thing that we did was, I guess your sister had already gotten a trap set up.
No, she, so she, I don't want to throw her under the bus here, but she, so she, when I was in Boston, she called and she was like, okay, like I tried, can I go home now? And I was like, I will fight you immediately. And so when we got back, I was so stressed. I was like, please do not talk to me. Like,
Yeah.
I have my head to the ground. Like, I'm just trying to figure this out. So she hadn't done anything. I think that she stayed here for a couple hours the first night, and then Kaima, my boyfriend, came back the next day. And so
Right.
we
Okay.
were both like, please do not be in our space right now. Like,
Yeah. That wasn't
we'll take it from
stressful.
here.
It brings out a lot of strong feelings when your pet goes missing, because it's like
Yeah.
they're really important to you. And of course, if it's someone else who has let them out, there's a quick there's a tendency to quickly blame or transfer the anger and the fear that you have about your pet being missing to this person instead of
100%.
frozen. Yeah.
And like, even looking back, I don't even remember in the moment because I was just so emotional. But in the moment, like, it wasn't even that she had let her out, because like accidents do happen and I know our
Yeah.
front door kind of sucks. It was like the
Yeah.
can I go home now? That was like,
Yeah.
okay, I need somebody who's like dedicated to this, because like
Yeah.
this cat is like my baby, like I love her so much.
Yeah.
this won't do.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's why we rushed home as well, because I was like, okay, I do not have an attentive person on the job.
Yeah, right, yeah, someone's got to be on the ground there. So you get home, and do you remember, I guess we were talking already by then. Then you came over and got a camera and a trap.
So first thing, I hit the airport. My boyfriend comes to pick me up. You had messaged me like, okay, these are the first things you need to do. So we head to FedEx straight from the airport. We got neon poster boards.
Yeah.
You had sent me a poster of what it should look like.
Right.
So we had the, Kaima had those on a thumb drive. So we went to FedEx. We got like 100 of the colored picture.
Yep.
Colored photos with the words lost cat and just my phone number on them.
Yep.
We got 100 of those. We got like 4 neon signs to post at major intersections. And then we came home. Oh, we also bought a staple gun there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So we came home. I got crafty, started making some good posters. And then I think the same day that I landed from Boston, so, which was the next day, we walked all around the neighborhood and started posting stuff. But unfortunately, my cat is a tabby, gray tabby, the most standard issue cat out there.
And yeah, they're going to be either tabby or black. That's pretty much every cat out there.
Yeah. And so then I think, so that same day as well, as I had posted on like our Buy Nothing page as well, like, does anybody have any humane traps? And like 4 people responded. So I had like 5 traps, and I was like, do I need to use all of these? And then you were like, you need to have a camera on each of these. Traps, because if anything goes in there, like, you either need to let it out or whatever, because they can't stay in there. So then I think I went to you, and you had 3 cameras, and I was like, all right, that's 3 traps.
That's right.
So I had,
that's right.
So I had 1 trap at the neighbor's where we last knew that she was under the porch, which he was super gracious. He was like, yeah, you can like hang out in my backyard a little
that's
bit.
So nice. Yeah.
I had convinced myself that she was here, there, and everywhere. And so we tried to like sit in the backyard and try and like talk to her, but she's super friendly in the house. Like, just to describe her behavior a little bit, she's super friendly in the house, but she's also super skittish of things she doesn't know. So as long as she's in her comfort zone, she's good. The second she's like unfamiliar with the space, like every time I take her to the vet, she just like screams at me the entire car ride. But she's very much like a freeze versus a fight. So I'm very impressed that she did so well out in nature for a while.
How long is a while? How long was she gone total?
She was gone 14 days. So
that's a long wait. When you're
a long
like,
time not to sleep.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. So you had the traps and the cameras up. I remember at one point early on, there was a woman who lived in one of the adjacent houses who went out with a hose and was like spraying. I feel like she sprayed away an animal from the away from the trap, or a cat or something. Like, there was something really nefarious feeling about.
No, it was one of the wireless cameras that I had set up. So on my front porch, I had a camera that faced like our front door. So we kind of have a audio medium trying to set the stage of my porch. So we have like a 8-foot by 8-foot covered porch, and our front door is on that porch. So we had a camera facing our porch, and then I had put another wireless camera at the bottom of like 6 stairs just to see if she was like approaching the stairs and not necessarily on it. And my neighbor had come out to like water her lawn or something and didn't know what it was, but I was watching from one of the other cameras and could see her just completely spray my camera down. And I went out and I was like, excuse me. And she's like, oh, I didn't know what that was. And I was like, okay.
So let me cover it in water.
It's not even facing your direction. Like, it's literally just facing like the first 2 stairs of my porch.
Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that because one of the screenshots that's early in our messenger conversation that we still have available was showed her off like to the side spraying something or standing out there. It's like, oh man. So so you had a nice little array of cameras, because one of the things that we know is that a lot of cats, especially cats that don't have regular outdoor access, and cats that are maybe a little bit fearful of strangers, they especially are the ones who want to stay hidden. So we thought it was very likely that she was going to come around along one side of the house, maybe behind a bush or something, but not be brave enough to come up the stairs because that's exposing. You know, that's sort of, it's better lit and there's a white background, so she would feel more visible. But eventually, we did get footage of her coming up at least a little bit,
This
right?
was a good, yeah. Okay. So it took me a while to sort of figure out what the camera angles were, what where the trap should be type of thing. So just to sort of start from the beginning and then I'll loop back to the first time we saw her on the camera. So I had a couple traps set up kind of in different neighbors' yards. Again, three of them we were using trail cams, some wireless cams for the ones that were closer to me because they need to be close to your Wi-Fi. And we had caught like a raccoon or two, and then I started to like hear raccoon noises in the night, all that stuff. So I knew that I was attracting predators, which I was like, I don't want to do. So then we did the raccoon distraction with the marshmallows and peanut butter type things. But because of the posters, I had gotten a call that they were like, hey, we have a tabby, and we had gotten a couple of them, but they were pretty far out, like I would say like 7 blocks away. And I was like, I don't like,
That's quite
and it was
far
like a
for,
sighting. And I was like, okay, well, like she is a tabby. Like, I know, but this call that we had gotten this one night, it was around like 9:30 p.m. It was just like a block and a half down. So we literally, we just like put on our shoes and we ran. We had no tools, we had nothing. We were like,
Like,
okay, we
what
just
are we
need
gonna
to
do when we
go.
get there?
They show up and there's this tabby cat. And I think at this point, I don't know how to express, I'm sure, like if you've ever experienced this, just like the emotional trauma. Like we had been staying up all night just staring at the cameras. Like we were so exhausted. So we found this cat, super nice cat, super chill. We picked him up and like he had this, it was like totally a tomboy cat, definitely not my cat, but in hindsight, but at the time I was like, oh my God, a kitty that looks like mine, which I think is something that we, again, even like listening to
Totally
Rachel's story
normal.
is also something that we go through. But he had this like deep guttural meow, and I was like, I don't know about that. And I was like, I also don't know if her nails have grown this long in the past week, but we were like, yeah, we think this is our cat, we think this is our cat. And the people who called us were like, oh, we have a cat carrier that you can borrow. And we put the cat in the carrier, and I'm like, this isn't my cat. So I'm like, damn it. Sorry, don't know if I can cuss on here, but
No, of course.
and then I come back. We come back to our house. We're kind of like, darn, like we totally thought that was our cat. And I look at the Wise Cam notification and it's like activity on your front porch. So up until this point, we had been keeping our front door just like open,
That's
like 5 inches. The only
right.
time we closed it was to go check on this other cat. And we see Mavis like just totally her like creep up to the porch because we had like food and water on the front porch, no
That's
trap
right.
yet really. And she creeps up on the front porch and she's like, hi, guys. And like turns around and leaves. And I was like, dude,
Forgot about that. Oh
we
my
had the
God.
door open like all
All the
day. We
time.
literally had mosquitoes like
Yeah.
making
Oh
homes in
God,
our
it was so
house. We were
hot.
covered in mosquito bites. We had flies everywhere. Like we were leaving windows open, doors open in case she wanted to get in, which
Yeah.
is lucky that we don't have any other pets that we could do
Right.
that. But
Yeah.
it didn't end up that was not the way. It might be for somebody else, but Mavis was not into that. But yeah, that was the first time we saw her on camera, and I'm like, okay, she's here. And I think at this point, I was sort of reaching the neurosis where we were talking about Carmen Brothers, and I was like, okay, like
Right.
we haven't seen her. Like I need to know that she's here. Like we should do the tracking, and then you were able to calm me down. First of all, I think I messaged you maybe like 1,000 times each day throughout this
Roughly.
entire process from the hours of 2 a.m. to 2 a.m. again.
Fortunately, we liked each other, so it worked out okay. It wasn't like, God, this
We
bitch
got along really
again.
well. But then we had a sighting. So I was like, okay, all Carmen can tell me is that she's in the area anyway. So this isn't necessary. So now it's about trying to get her in. Which at that point, once you see her, your instinct is just to be like, okay, I can do anything. Like, what should I do? I should do everything all at once. Like, I gotta whip out all the tools. At some point, we had a string rigged to the door, and somebody was sitting on the
That's
couch
right.
So I took the first shift until 2 a.m. and then my
Yeah.
boyfriend took the shift from like 2 a.m. to like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
when he had to go, or like luckily he was on some sort of summer break at this point, but
Yeah.
he had to go to like school at some point in this. So we were taking shifts of like who was manning the door, but we literally had like MacGyver a string to the handle of the door that like looped all the way back through. So if she walked in, like we didn't have to stand,
You
we
could
could just
just,
pull the cord.
yeah, which is a very good plan. Like it really is, because you've got the cameras going, and if you can get it closed that fast, it's a great, yeah, it's a great
Because you
tool.
don't want to like get up and scare her out.
Right.
So
Yeah.
we were doing shifts of that for a while. We had so eventually I got rid of all the other traps other than the one on the front porch, because the front porch is where I had seen her.
Yeah.
At this point, I had bought her some fried chicken, which even now to
Yes.
this day, when she gets excited about it in the house, I'm like, you don't deserve this. Because only the aunts got the fried chicken. We tried tuna, but she loves her dry food and
Yeah.
she doesn't like seafood stuff. So it ended up just being her dry food that we use to make it work. But
Yeah.
once we started trap training her with the cameras, I think was the most successful thing.
Yeah.
We had toys on a string at some point.
Yep. I remember that. And I remember there was one night when the emotions really took over and you did like try to open the door and like bring her in or lure her, or maybe there's a window, or maybe it was Kaima did. I can't remember. But there was one night when it was like after all of this work of like ignoring their instincts, and really I just felt so bad for you because you were just like, I just thought you would just come in. I don't remember what it was, but
Because we could see her on the front porch, and so I mean, you had given us like a jar of like sardine skins or something, so we just had this like buffet inside of the door. I was like, in hindsight, there's like other animals out there with our door open. I don't know if this is the best plan. But we had like this whole buffet, so every time we saw her on the front porch, we were like, come on, like just come inside. But we would see on the camera that she would come up and kind of sniff the door a little bit. And then, like, not be too sure about it and then leave. And on the camera, we could tell too that her body language was like not comfortable on the front porch, but she was willing to go up there at least. And so that was kind of where we just decided to focus our efforts. But yeah, and then one night you were like, it's too much. We just need to slowly start moving the food back into the crate a little bit at a time. And I think at that point, when I took away the distractions, I left the water bowl on the front porch, like just free range, because
It was hot.
that's fine. And then I think over the course of like 4 nights, we slowly inched the food back, because we already knew that her body language wasn't super great. We could see her come consistently on the camera, like at dusk, sometime in the middle of the night, and dawn. And so once you start to get that consistency and being able to see that, was key, absolutely. And so I remember there was a night where I was like, okay, like tonight is the night, and I know that because she's been so consistent that tonight we actually rig the trap to go.
Yes. Instead of just tying it open.
Yeah.
And then you watched her go into the trap, right?
Yeah, so we were sitting on our couch. We were binging alone. We had the door closed this time, because we could tell that it was making her kind of uncomfortable. We just had the camera on and we saw her come up. And this night we were both like, tonight's the night. Like we are ready. Like we know she's here. We know she's safe. And so, yeah, she went into the trap. It went off. We went out with a blanket just to cover her. I think there's some video of that. And then brought her inside and we put her in our guest room, which we sort of set up as like a safe zone just for her to get reacclimated. We had her litter box, water, food, that sort of thing, a good hiding place for her to hide in. But we put her in the guest room and she just started howling. I don't know if other people's cats do that or it's just a Mavis thing, but she was under, and I think she howled for like 48 hours when she got home. It was a lot. But she just kind of yelled under the bed, and then we got her to come out of the bed. And the second that she like smelled our hand and knew it was us, she just started doing like flips and purrs and was
So
rubbing all up
happy.
against us. Yeah, I don't think I'd ever cried that hard, and been so excited for a night of sleep in my life. Yeah, so it was a crazy time. But yeah, but she came home. So
Yeah, so you did everything right. I mean, just really, it was really amazing. I was really proud of you. It's so important what you're saying about the fact that, you know, she's back in her home, in her space, and she still was feeling displaced. She still didn't feel at home. And it took her time to realize that you're the people. Oh, yeah, no, I'm home. Okay. You know, it's like I was just talking to somebody yesterday who was saying, you know, why don't they just go home? Like, why don't they just go home to their owners, you know, especially if they are going to the house? Like, why don't they come when they're called? Why don't they just circle back home? Why do they stay, you know, out of place? And I was like, they just don't, they turn off all of that stuff. And like their survival skills are the only thing that matters until they feel like they're safe. And then once they feel they're safe and fed and sheltered and they've got water, then they can start paying attention to love and comfort and all that other stuff.
And I think that's one thing too that you kind of were talking to me about is like their behavior and who they are in your house
Yeah.
plays a role in what we can sort of assume about their behavior outside,
Definitely.
but they are totally different outside. They are in prey mode. Every noise they
Yeah.
hear is a threat. If they hear you calling their name, they think that's somebody hunting them because they're
Yeah.
like, that's me, and I don't want to be found because I'm scared right now. And
Right.
I remember you saying, her brain is the size of a walnut. So now whenever I'm mad at her, I call her walnut brain. But but like, yeah, like they have instinct, and it is
Yeah.
food, safety, warm
Yeah.
heater,
Like,
and that's
don't get killed. And that's the, you
yes.
know, once that's established, then they can, yeah. So,
Because I remember one of the nights I went out into the alley and I was using like the flashlight, like I don't know. It's
Yep.
really hard to control yourself when you're going through this and it's all you're thinking about.
Definitely.
And you're just thinking, what else can I do when the answer is do less?
Yeah,
Do
exactly.
less,
So
especially
hard.
like. And so I saw her eyes in the with the flashlight, like two
Oh, wow.
houses down. And I was
Yeah.
like, huh? And then I kind of like tiptoed that way and I saw her dart. And then like I was like, okay, Mitch told me don't chase. Chase. So I just like turned around. I was like, okay, I don't want to move you any further because then she had ran like four houses away, and I'm like, that's
Yeah.
too far. That
Yeah.
is too far. And we live a block away from like a pretty busy street, so I was like,
Yeah.
I'm not trying to scare her. But and then I was getting calls about people seeing her in their backyard, but their dogs had chased her away and all this stuff. And
Yes, that's
so,
so hard. And
yeah.
especially being close to kind of that major thruway. It's just a two-lane road and the speed limit is 25, but it's
Yeah.
an artery right off the interstate and right to
Right.
so many neighborhoods that you know, traffic gets really heavy and pedestrians have been killed there, pedestrians have been injured there. And the last thing you want to do is to have that animal venture, you know, toward
Yeah.
the road. You want them to go back into the deeper into the neighborhood.
I don't think Yinzers respect speed limits no matter what they are either,
It's
so.
crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's nuts. That road is just, it's shocking how dangerous it is given that it's a two-lane road with parallel parking and 25 mile an hour speed limit. Like,
Yeah.
how is that possible? And stoplights. Anyway, yeah, I was really proud of you. You learned a lot and you really, you know, like internalized it. You took it very seriously, unlike a lot of people. So it was really good. Really
I
good.
think I just turned off my brain and I was like, what Mitch says goes. Like I can no longer function for myself. I'm not. And I think like being able to like be self-aware to be like, okay, I know I'm not making the best decisions right
Yeah.
now. Like I need to choose one channel of what I'm doing
Yeah.
and stick to
Yeah.
it. Because it is so easy to overthink. It's easy to almost over research to do all of that. So.
Yeah, and especially when you've got all those voices coming from different sources on Facebook, and some of them might be correct, but you don't know if you don't know. So figuring out who knows what they're talking about and what sources are legit and like good advice is, I mean, it's very confusing. It's very hard. And I was actually talking about this with a few other responders yesterday. Like, what do you do when someone just ignores your advice or actually takes someone else's advice and it's directly controverting the things that you're telling them to do. Like, what do you do? Like, how long do you stick with it before you just say, you know what, if you're going to listen to somebody else and not follow my advice? Like, I've had cases where that happened and I just said to the person, I am happy to help you, but I can't help you if you're going to also, like, I have a plan and I'm sharing that plan with you. But if you're going to work somebody else's plan too, and that's like in conflict with mine, it's not going to work. And my time is precious. So I will go and I will help somebody else. And you've got help. That's fine. So, it can be frustrating to people. This one person the responder I was talking to has a situation where her client, the cat is missing and this client is doing all these things that other people are telling her to do, despite what this trained professional responder is telling her. And she knows that the animal is in danger if she doesn't get the animal home soon. So just because of some specific circumstances, and she just feels like really frustrated because she doesn't want to step out because she knows that's could be dangerous for the animal. But at the same time, it's so frustrating to have somebody doing stuff against what you're trying to get them to do. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I think after interviewing you for 14 days straight about every single move that I could possibly make, like afterwards, yeah. I was like, I don't want anybody else to go through this, you know, yeah. Like if there is somebody that I see on like the Facebook yep. page or anything, like I want to be able to help. And there is that balance of like, I want to help the animal.
Yeah.
But I can't help the owner do what is best. Like if it only works as much as you put the energy in. And
definitely.
I think even hearing Rachel's story about like doing that for 2 months straight is like, people give up hope so quick, like you said, because of the emotional trauma. And I mean, it's really, really hard. And I think but you have to stay focused to a certain degree, even if it's from like the hours of like 6 to 9 p.m.
Right.
And like 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. And those are your like focus hours. Like, I know it gets exhausting, but like cats are really incredibly resilient when they're outside. They have incredible instincts. They know how to avoid danger. I don't think my cat even lost a pound in the past few days. I was like, how many spiders did you eat? Because I have seen you like try to chase a fly and it does not go well for you. So I do not know how you did it, but I'm like, I'm impressed because I think she was a street cat maybe at some point in her life.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe so.
But now she's just a couch lump. And I'm like, I've seen you try and kill bugs and you're not very good at it. So like, what were you eating out there? Because there's no way you caught a bird. Like, But it's been, you really have to stay dedicated.
Yeah, it is very, I mean, I have had cases where it does go on so long that, maybe the family's resources, financial resources, time off from work that they can take, all of that stuff runs dry. And, there aren't a lot of people around still to hang more posters or distribute more flyers or whatever. And at some point, you know, you can't, like, you can make it your life for the first few days or the first week or 2 weeks or something, depending on your situation. But after a while, you can't sustain that level of intensity over a long period. You have to live your life. So that's a very difficult point when people get to a point when they are having that talk with themselves about what. How much of my life can I, how much longer can I put, 80% of myself into this versus, maybe I pull back. So I spend, like you said, a few hours a night or something. And it's hard because you feel guilty if you're not spending all your time doing that. Like you don't love them enough if you're not putting all of your time into it, but it's just a reality that, I'm sure I would love to talk to someone actually who works with like missing people, families of missing people, missing children, especially. Like, how do you make that decision about when it's okay to return to some semblance of normalcy and still feel like you're doing what you need to do to bring that person home. You know, it's just at some point, it's just life. You know, you gotta, not everybody has the luxury of just quitting work and doing it full time.
And I mean, luckily, like, I have a boyfriend, I don't have kids. Like,
right.
I had time to take off PTO wise.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to put in those efforts. But it is, I mean, some people have kids, they've got to take kids
yeah.
to places. They can't dedicate all of this time and attention to
Absolutely.
It. But I do think that there are some like key basic things that you can do that can last a while, whether that's flyers. Like,
yeah.
Put up flyers, please. If you have a trap that, you know, you just set up the night before and you keep a camera on it, like,
yeah,
because I do feel like you, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, but like, you can sleep through the night and then in the morning, like, as long as you check it, like, if
I mean, the ideal is to have the camera signal your phone or something and
100%.
Wake you up. But
okay.
Yeah, you can definitely, I mean, it depends on the situation, but you don't want an animal to be in that kind of situation. If the weather is in any way health threatening, like it's too hot and they don't have water or it's not shaded. I just read a case about somebody who left a carrier, like a dog crate exposed kind of carrier of kittens outside in, you know, the heat of summer in the sun, unprotected, no food, no water. And they can't, you know, there's no shade. They can't, there's no, it's unrelenting. And, you know, animals will die.
Oh, totally.
And the other concern is predators, whether human obnoxious people who are going to, you know, poke and torment the cat or, you know, other animals trying to get to the food that they have. And that can end not well for the animal, depending on what animal it is.
It's another factor as well. Like, let's say you catch an animal that is not yours.
Right.
Could your animal see that and then be like, I don't want to be near whatever?
Yeah. Yeah.
That
I
is.
Mean, with Rachel's cat, Toby, there were raccoons up in that yard all the time. And we did the raccoon distractions with dog chow and marshmallows and peanut butter and whatnot. But sometimes they would still come around to the trap. But one of the things I like about these Wyze cameras and lots of other security type cameras is that they have a two-way mic. So when I would see, you know, when I would get the notification that there was motion at the camera and I would look and it would be something other than Toby, I would just say, God, you know, get away.
Yeah.
And they would kind of freak out and they would leave. And fortunately they did every time. But there were a couple of times when we did catch raccoons despite, you know, our best efforts, and we'd have to go out and clean the trap.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when they panic, they're tearing things, they're peeing, sometimes they poop, they, you know, whatever. And you don't want any kind of, even if it were not a diseased animal, you don't want any kind of waste or anything to turn them off the smell of,
yeah.
You know, you want it to smell like sardines and mackerel and KFC and rotisserie chicken and whatever. So yeah, that can be a pain, but so that's why, you know, most people who do like a lot of TNR or trapping will try to get there within half hour to an hour. But, you know, it just depends on your situation, and it's better to, you know, have them trapped for 2 hours than not trap them at all. So
that's fair.
As long as it's safe for them. So, yeah. So then Mavis came home. And you were so happy. And we stayed friends. And my chat threads are super long because our love language is memes and kitten videos. So it's like just pages and pages and pages of stupid stuff that we send each other.
No, absolutely. I know. I was thinking about it with it being like a year since Mavis has been gone.
Yeah.
I was like, Mitch and I have been friends for a whole
That's
year.
So cool.
I don't think
I
we ever stopped talking after that, even
I
though
know.
You moved away.
I know.
Which is lame, but I'm very happy for you.
You should come visit.
Okay, I will. But yeah, no. And so I think to sort of after, just to talk about her behavior when she came home a
yes,
little bit.
Yeah.
So she did yell for like 24 hours, but then I think because I was scared that we were going to have to start from like square one with like
Yeah.
socializing her again. Like I had no idea what she had been through,
Yeah.
but I think around like day three or four, she was like, I'm back.
Yeah.
Like, and she
It's
had
mine.
kind of calmed down a bit, which like she was almost more clingy after she got back. I think just she was
Yeah.
just so grateful to be home. And
Yeah.
now she's still super lovable, but sometimes
Oh.
it does take time. But I think once she realized that she was in her safe space again,
Yeah.
it was all good.
Yeah, and she knew both of you, and like
Yeah.
there's not like a lot of disruption in the house, like new pets or new kids or a lot of business travel or something like that around that time. So she had a chance to really kind of settle back in and feel like her Mavis self again. So, which is awesome. Is she coming by? Well, there she is. Hi, baby girl. Oh my goodness. So sweet.
Oh.
Hi, cutie.
Be
Oh
back.
my goodness.
She
Are
good.
you cute? You're very cute.
It's like I
She's
really
like,
don't
this is
like
not what I
this.
came over here for. Well, I really
It's a cup.
appreciate you taking the time to tell me your story. Tell the listener our story because it's a good story. And you really did a lot of things right. And I'm hoping that I will get to interview the person I'm thinking of here. But we were talking about the other cat that you saw that reminded you that made you thought might be Mavis. I did work on a case where a guy was missing his orange tabby and
Oh, yeah.
found a cat and was actually a lot of times some people would find an orange cat and he was certain that it was his cat. But at one point they trapped a cat and he would really thought it was his cat, brought it home, like in a carrier, brought it
Yeah.
home and only found out later that it wasn't his cat. Fortunately, he did not give up on his own cat. He found out the story behind the cat that he had brought home and that cat had been tossed out of his home and so was homeless. And so he now has both cats. So I guess I just spoiled the story if he does come on the show, but it's still such a good story. But yeah, it's really easy to mistake another cat for your own. Especially when you really want it to be yours and be done with it. So,
Absolutely. Was it you that I was talking about that cats have a distinct whisker pattern that like,
someone told me that. Yeah, I don't know
yeah.
whether it was you or.
So if you have a close-up picture of their face, you can sort of tell based on like how many like little, I don't know, like dimples or like pores
Like
that
the
they have for their
follicles or whatever.
whiskers.
Yeah.
Yeah, the follicles. You can identify cats that look similar by their whiskers if you have a close picture of them, which
That
I
is
think
really
you
cool,
do.
actually. I should try doing that with Tarkus to see like what his pattern is, because I think it's really important to have good pictures, maybe video, just for that identification stuff, because it is hard to be sure, especially if you have a kind of common looking. Like to me, Tarkus looks unlike any other black cat in the world because of his particular like body shape and build and
Yeah.
everything. But yeah, it can be hard to distinguish, if they're not there and you're just wanting it to be them. So
Yeah, take so many good pictures of your cats for multiple reasons, but also in
yeah.
case you ever need to make a
That's
poster.
right. They're great for
Luckily, I had
memes.
like
They're great
thousands and
for
thousands to choose from, but
Yeah, me too. I keep a couple in my favorites folder and that's about it.
yeah.
Otherwise, they're just all pell-mell through my photo library. Well, it was really nice to see your
Yeah.
face after all this time. So, invitation's open. Come up to Vermont. We'd love to have you.
Very awesome. Yeah, thank you for
And tell
having me on
Kaima
as well.
hi and big kisses for Mavis if she'll accept them,
She's eating a
And
bug right now, but we'll let her
nice. Good job. Good job. So take care and I will talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
No Place Like Home is a podcast about missing pets. I feature content from owners, finders, volunteers, and professionals. I always appreciate a rating and review on your podcast app and a follow on Facebook, where you can find the show at NPLH, as in No Place Like Home, Mitch. Find episodes, transcripts, and additional information at noplacelikehome.buzzsprout.com. If you have questions or feedback, you can contact me at NPLHMitch missingpets@gmail.com. Remember to always think missing, not stray or dumped. This podcast was created, hosted, recorded, and produced by me, Mitch Bernard. The opinions expressed on this show are those of the people expressing them and do not necessarily represent the views of any other entity.